And Justin, looking on from many thousands of miles away, you can see why Takeuchi feels that Japan might need to be more assertive militarily, because it is surrounded by nuclear-armed adversaries in China and Russia and North Korea, and it's in a very vulnerable position.
Japan is located in a geopolitically complicated area and potentially one that could turn nasty quite quickly. And then, of course, is the perennial Taiwan question, whether China thinks that now or sometime in the not too distant future will be the right time for them to make a move on Taiwan, you know, a democratic, self-governed island that Beijing regards as a renegade province that will one day be reunited with the Chinese motherland. So Japan is in a precarious position, and I don't think many people would argue with the fact that Japan needs to be able to defend itself. And I think that's been given more urgency under Trump's sort of second time in the White House, because although he's always insisted that it's time for Japan to take more responsibility for its own defense and to pay more towards the bilateral security relationship, in the last year or so, I think there is this feeling that if something were to happen in Taiwan and Japan were to be drawn into that in some way, could we rely on the United States to come to our aid?
And what was Takeuchi actually said about what she thinks Japan should do if China attacks Taiwan?
She was in Parliament and somebody asked her a question about Taiwan. And apparently she had a scripted answer that would have, you know, probably not even been commented on very much. But she started, again, reportedly ad-libbing and said, well, if there were to be a conflict in the Taiwan Strait, then Japan would have the right to become militarily involved, because having a war involving a superpower like China on our doorstep would pose a threat to Japan's very existence. And of course, that has set off a huge row between Japan and China that is now at least a couple of months old and doesn't really show much sign of slowing down.
China's consul general in Osaka saying that if the Japanese prime minister was to stick her head into Taiwan, well, I think I should go and cut it off. It's nasty language like that. We've got the ex-Global Times editor.
And what has China said that it will do if she does manage to change the constitution?
They haven't said explicitly what their reaction would be. What the Chinese government quite often does is to talk about Japan's dangerous slide back into militarism, and that Japan's leaders should reflect on Japan's wartime atrocities and, you know, resolve never to repeat the past. It hasn't really gone beyond that stage at the moment, but what I think would happen is, you know, possibly we could see a Northeast Asia arms race.
Oh God,
that's going to inevitably prompt discussions on spending more on arms in Japan, on defense. In fact, Japan already does. You know, one of the first things Takeuchi said was that she would raise defense spending to 2% of GDP by around now, actually. Mm-hmm. It's traditionally been around 1%. Last week, Japan's cabinet approved plans to start selling lethal weaponry overseas for the first time since the war. So things are moving in that direction.
How likely is it, do you think, that she will be able to implement this really radical agenda and accomplish everything that she's set out to do?
Yeah, as I was saying, it really depends on what form that takes. Whether it's just sort of tweaking the wording to include the self-defense forces, or whether it's wholesale revision. But I think that the Japanese public just don't have the appetite for it at the moment, unless it's something almost imperceptible that doesn't really change the nature of Japan's defense policy. If it's something more fundamental than that, then I can see Takeuchi really falling at the final hurdle.
How fascinating. Justin, thank you very much. That was Justin McCurry, our Tokyo correspondent. You can read all of his coverage of Japan at theguardian.com. And that is all for today. This episode was produced by Joe Pinner and Guy Zaffman and presented by me, Helen Pidd. Sound design was by Ross Burns, and the executive producer was Huma Khalili. We'll be back in your feeds this afternoon with the latest.
This is The Guardian.